Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Psychic Access Talk Radio. I'm Bobby Marcheso, one of your hosts for this evening. Tonight, we're going to talk with Karen Noe, who's a spiritual teacher, healer, renowned psychic medium. We're talking about reviewing your life, your previous life, this life. We're going to find out for sure what she means by that. And again, that'll be coming up here in just a little bit. But first, want to introduce you to our lovely co-hosts. Tonight, first with me is Lady Brenda. Good evening, lady.
Hello, good lady. Evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you? Yes. Oh, I'm, you know what? I'm doing great. It's a nice day. I haven't been out a whole lot. I was out this morning cleaning corrals and it wasn't as hot, and becoming one with nature. It was wonderful.
I would think cleaning corrals on a cool day would be preferable. Yeah.
You know what? It's like, yeah, because of there's a lot of scenarios I don't want to go into, but yeah, it's just being saying. Down there with the horses. It's just awesome.
Yes, that would be fun. So tell us what you do for us here at Psychic Access.
I work with you lovely people at PsychicAccess.com. I'm a predictive psychic. I do the crystal ball and the tarot, and I also do the playing cards. And I specialize in dates, times, and places.
Playing cards. How does that? Yeah. How does that work? What do you? So you draw the, I don't know, seven clubs or something? Is it, or how do you work those? I didn't know.
There's a different. There's a couple different ways of reading them. I mean, there's a traditional way, or you can relate them to the tarot as well. So
yeah. Very cool. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And with us are everybody. You have to have a foreigner on the show. You have to add to your co-host section. We always have to have somebody with an accent. I think it's Union thing. I'm not sure, but our said accent comes from Steve, one of our co-hosts. Hello, Steve.
Good evening, Bobby.
Don't you wish, like, right then you could just turn your accent off just to show me?
I know, I was going to try, but I'm not very good at it. I'm very good at impersonating all different kinds of British accents, so like Scottish and Welsh and things like that, but I don't seem to be very good at impersonating American accents. And I've had guests from England for 8 weeks, so my accent's probably stronger than ever.
Oh, no. It does tend to ingrain you more, doesn't it? I know.
Yes.
So tell us what you do also for us here at Psychic Access.
Thank you, Bobby. Well, I'm a psychic medium like you. I connect with spirit and like to channel insight direct from spirit, which I really enjoy. And I love giving people evidence of the afterlife or the continued existence of the soul, I should say. And I'm interested in all forms of metaphysics and the fact that all of the different metaphysical systems are interwoven. I'm particularly interested in astrology.
Very cool. Now, if I were to get together with you and my father comes through, is he going to give me messages through an English accent or? Because he wasn't British, you know, my father. So,
well, it's my voice, Bobby.
Oh,
so, yeah. Actually, the way it works for me is that my guides give me the information. Mm-hmm. So I occasionally see spirits. I often will see spirit if it's children. Then I'll often see the children externally. But otherwise, I always feel as though my guides are giving me the information from the person in spirit.
Interesting. I was kidding, but I like what you said there. That's
Bobby, for $1,000 an hour, I'll do whichever accent you like.
So worth it, too. Totally worth it. I would take
one
you up.
Day.
I'm going to start saving up right now. one day. All right. Thank you, Steve. And one of our other co-hosts, lastly, but not leastly, and she was very much missed. You can't even begin to say how much so. In the chat room, everyone was asking about you last week, and it's Maureen. Hi, Maureenie.
Hi, Bobby.
Hang on, Nay. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you, Bobby.
So tell us what you do here for Psychic Access.
I'm an intuitive empath, the tarot reader, and I'm kind, and I have strength, and I have wisdom.
And I love long walks on the beach, and I enjoy playing Scrabble.
Yes, and I enjoy working with all of you. I really
do. Now, do you? You don't have to just say that because you're our co-host and like you're
no,
on the air. But
I,
do you
no,
really?
I really do. I mean that from the bottom of my wisdom, strength,
from
kindness,
the heart.
Heart.
Of your bottom. You mean
yes.
That completely?
Yes, absolutely. I do. No
oh,
doubt.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, we're looking forward to talking with our guest tonight. We're going to hook up with her in just a few moments. But meanwhile, past life review or reviewing some of our past lives. Which one of you have worked with past lives? I know I have with some of my clients. I mean, it's sometimes just picturing a past life or seeing parts of that. But have any of you done an actual past life regression with anybody?
I have. Me.
Yeah. Me too.
Oh, you. Brenda.
I actually do them for people.
Oh, do you? Past life regressions? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay.
So awesome.
Is it really cool? Can they visualize it or I mean, has it been really successful?
It's very successful in how it works. It's very simple too. You'd put them in like this guided meditation and kind of a light hypnosis. And I take them usually through about three lifetimes, but I've done it with groups individually and I'll take each person through one, or I've done a group regression where I go to each person and we just kind of like do a collective thing. Mm. I did a group past life regression in the Grand Pyramid of Egypt.
Wow, that's kind of
pretty awesome.
I enjoy that. You know, mm-hmm. I've done past life regressions too where I would describe to them what I was seeing and then they would also either have pictured the same thing or they would tell me and I say, yes, that's what I saw or... You know,
yeah, that's what happened.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's exciting because when I'm doing the regression, I can see everything they're seeing.
Oh, that's cool. I enjoy that. Very, very telepathic. Okay, thank you, Brenda. And so now we're going to get to our guest. Karen Noe is a renowned New Jersey-based psychic medium. She often received messages from her point of view. She says she received messages of regrets from deceased loved ones. Now that they've crossed over, they're able to see what they should have said or done. Sometimes things they needed to do differently when they were still here on Earth. She has a book out called Through the Eyes of Another, and she shows us that we don't have to die in order to go through that life review. I'm sure you've heard you crossed over, your life passes before your eyes, or you're over there and you review your life. Well, you can do it now before you cross over, before it's too late. So we're going to talk about how to write different types of letters to help you see a bigger picture of how you're affecting some of the people in your path. She can take you on a personal journey of how her life was transformed after she wrote those types of letters to her loved ones. It's all what we're going to find out. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. It's Karen Noe. Hi, Karen.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. I tried to really read your bio with pizzazz. I hope it was okay. I could have really added
great.
Something to it, but I just wanted to get the facts out.
Uh-huh. So yes, that's true. I am a psychic medium, and I've been practicing for the last 15 years. I was, when I was younger, I would have dreams that would come true. My father used to take me to the racetrack and things like that. But about 15 years ago, I was going through a rough time in my life. And I sat at the edge of my bed and I yelled at God and I asked, please, you know, let me know if I'm going to be okay. And with that, I saw a light that came towards me from the other side of the room. And my first response was, if you're not of God, please leave.
Right.
But the more I said that, the more it came towards me and actually came within me. And I heard an audible voice at that time that said, Lucia Lucina, Bella Lucia Lucina. And for the listeners who are Italian, it means light, little light, beautiful little light. And to make a long story short, I've since learned it was St. Francis as with a group of other ascended masters and angels. And since that time, I've been able to communicate with those who've crossed over. And that's the bottom line. That's how it started.
Yeah.
You know, doing all this. But I have since, you know, had so many. I've been practicing for the last 15 years in New Jersey. I'm booked for 2 years ahead of time. And a lot of my messages, as you said, as you just stated, were when they are coming through, the deceased loved ones, that they should have done certain things differently. They wish they could have done certain things. You know, they wish they would have spent more time with their loved ones. They should have said certain things. And they feel it's too late.
You know, it's weird because sometimes the people who are here don't understand that. I just had an event on Sunday where the gentleman came through and he was kind of regretful. He wished he could have been a better father, and she didn't understand the message. He was the greatest father ever, she said. So I don't get that message. But
you know,
they do have those regrets, don't they, at times?
You know what happens is we're able to see the bigger perspective, the bigger picture. And maybe we're hardest on ourselves. And we're able to say, okay, maybe I should have spent more time. And even though his daughter didn't think that, maybe he felt he should have done something differently. We're one with God here on earth, but when we're, you know, when we leave the body, we're able to see that more clearly, you know, what we should have done or could have done. You know, I often hear that from those who, you know, the living loved ones as well, that they wish they would have spent more time with their loved ones or, you know, did certain things, wish they would have forgiven them and things like that. So
and you think that's why when they come through like that, it's because, at least with the regrets, it's because of that bigger source perspective, yeah?
Yes. So, yeah, that's what happens. You're able to see. And by the way, I do want to make sure everyone that's listening understands we are in a good place. After we leave this earth, it's not that we're in a bad place, that we're judged, you know, by God, you go to this place or that place. It's not like that at all. When I say we're able to see the bigger picture, it's just as a new knowledge that we have. Like, oh, I should have done this. I should, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
So
yeah, I've never gotten, it's always just been a little sorrow maybe, but they're always in a great, exactly like you said, always in a great place. Just, I'm sorry I didn't spend enough time, or I should have expressed myself more. I wish I told you I loved you more. You know, just little things like that. And it's always been the good parents that I think have always expressed that, you know.
Isn't that funny? Because I always wish the good parents are the ones that they wish they could have done more, maybe, or, you know.
I said if they weren't a good parent, they wouldn't have asked that in the first place, you know.
Right.
So you talk about, as we go through this life review, I believe I know what you mean by that, but just, again, for the listeners and kind of talking to all of us like we're four, what is a life review? What does that consist of?
Okay, after we leave the body, we are able to see the bigger perspective, the bigger picture on how we have affected each person as if we are that person. In other words, we're seeing through the other person's eyes. You know, we are the person. So again, we could see if we were good to the other person, we actually could feel that as if they are us or we're them. I hope you can understand. You can understand that, and I hope the listeners can as well.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, we experience everything we did or did not do to others, that type of thing.
Right. That can be tough for some people.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like the ones who go through this life in a very tough, angry, finger-pointing way. That can be kind of tough, I would think, that they have to wrestle with those types of inner demons, I guess you would call, not demons, but you know what I mean, when you cross over.
Well, the ones who always blame someone else, the ones who are living on earth here and blaming everyone else and saying they're, you know, we're a victim and it's your fault and that type of thing, they're the ones that are really going to see. It's not always the other person, you know, trying to see through the other person's eyes how you are affecting them. You know, that's an eye-opener sometimes. You know, you're not realizing, especially when you're going through a tough time in your life, say a divorce or something like that, you only see how the other person is affecting you. But if you sit back and try to see the other way around, how you affected them, it's quite different.
It's very different, isn't it? The one of the other things I think that I've experienced from the other side is healing not only between our loved ones, so let's say a person's dad, but their dad and their father or their mother, yeah. And the bigger source, yeah, perspective lets them heal. Oh, my dad wasn't always such a jerk. It actually was partly my fault. You know what I mean?
Right. Like healing on the other side. Exactly. Yes.
That's so in your book, Through the Eyes of Another, mm-hmm, it kind of gives instruction, or you help people make amends with those who are in their life now, again, so we don't have those regrets, or so that we don't have to go through the life review while we're on their side. We can actually accomplish that here. So how, yes, what's one of the ways that you can suggest that we do that, to live without regret?
Okay, well, the number one thing to do is to try to see how we are affecting each person. I'm not saying, you know, you have to concentrate, okay, how am I affecting the other person? But say you're in the grocery store and the other person is in a bad mood. Don't only see how they're affecting you. See, okay, maybe you can make their life a little bit better, you know, do things like that. But a very good way of trying to see through the other person's point of view, trying to see through their eyes, is to write them letters, to try to sit down. And there's different types of letters that we can write. You know, it could be a gratitude letter. And by the way, that's one of the biggest regrets when people come through. They wish they should have told their loved ones how much they love them. You know, they wish they would have said it more often, that type of things.
Right.
So if you could sit down and write to those closest to you about the things that you love about those closest in your life, you know, that's something that's very important, something that they'll always cherish. They may not know that you think about, you know, the different things that they do, that you appreciate these types of things. So that's a letter of gratitude.
Okay.
There's a letter of forgiveness, which is one of the most healing experiences out of all the letters. There's two types of letters of forgiveness, if you want to forgive someone else or if you want them to forgive you. And again, if you write this type of letter, it's always a positive, loving letter, trying to see why they're acting the way they are, not a letter of attack, because that's not what we're talking about at all. This is a very a peaceful experience, trying to create peace in your lives and in the other person's life. And then there's a letter to yourself. And a letter, if it is too late and your loved one has already passed, you could write a letter to your deceased loved one as well. You could write them a letter of gratitude or forgiveness. And then at the end of the letter, you can say something like, okay, give me a sign to let me know that you read this letter. And you will get a sign. It's the best part of the whole thing.
That's very interesting, because that's the thing. Is that, so somebody writes this letter, let's say especially, the thing that I've loved the most since I've got into this work is being able to connect that person from the other side with their loved ones here. And they get instant,
yes,
feedback, don't they, on forgiveness, or,
yes,
tell them this, or dad says this. But it's tough in a letter, especially if people don't have access to a medium or somebody who can do this, which they don't need, but they can get signs that their loved one saw the letter, hears the letter, sees the letter, right? And all on their own. What are some of those signs? Are there typical signs, or is it individual?
There's a lot of signs that they can look for. Number one, and most people don't even realize the first one that I'm going to talk about, most people expect to see an apparition of their loved one or to hear an audible voice. Whereas that does happen, it's rarer than most of the messages that they come through with. A very typical way of they come to all of us, our deceased loved ones, they come as thoughts that just pop in our heads. It's a telepathic message. Most people don't realize that. They think they're thinking of their loved one. They think about their deceased loved ones anyway, so they think it's their own thought. And I always,
right,
tell them, if a thought just pops in your head for no reason and there's no originating thought, that very well could be your deceased loved one telling you, you know, that he's there or she's there, you know, things like that. There's so many, they could come to you in dreams, you know, but you need to wake up after the dream to make sure that, you know, in order for you to remember it. They could come through as an animal, a bird, a ladybug, a butterfly. They could place objects in your path, make, you know, certain smells around you. There's so many different ways,
yeah,
that they come through to let us know that they're around us. I wrote a letter to my deceased friend. Her name was Marion. And I wrote about it in the book. She was, by the way, when we come through, we're very much the same personality as we were when we were here. So if we were funny, we're still funny. If we were quiet, we're still quiet, and that type of,
yeah,
thing. But I wrote a letter to Marion. She was very loud and very funny. So I wrote how much I appreciated her, how much I loved her, and I said, and by the way, Marion, let me know, without a doubt. I call it without a doubt signs. Give me a without a doubt sign to let me know that you're around me. And within a few days of me writing the letter, I am walking down my steps to put letters in my mailbox, and a bird comes flying towards me, looks directly in my eyes, and when I say, the bird screamed at me. The bird squawked and looked at me in my eyes and just, wah, like that. I immediately knew it was Marion. My first response was, oh my gosh, Marion, I love you so much. My neighbors must have thought I was crazy, for sure.
No, you're in New Jersey. Who's going to look at you sideways, right?
Uh-huh. So the bird's following me, and as she's screaming and followed me to my mailbox, I had a cell phone in my pocket, and I called my son, who's in the house, and I said, quick, come outside, Marion's here. And he's, what? You know, he's just so used to me, he came outside and saw the whole thing. But the bottom line is, I know that was Marion. You know, it's not that she's always a bird, but she was able to use her energy to come inside of the bird to let me know. She did hear, you know, she did read the letter that I had written to her. So that's what I would tell the listeners, to ask for a sign.
In the letter, right? Ask for the sign in the letter, or is it just something that you contemplate after you write the letter?
You could do both. You could, I put it in the letter, but I also, you know, every, you know, like the next day I said, Marion, make sure you let me know you read my letter and you're aware of what I had, you know, told you. And that's what happened. So just ask for a without a doubt sign. And that goes for anyone who's had, you know, who lost someone. I do that with my mom all the time, and she gives me really incredible signs all the time. All you have to do is ask. Sometimes they don't want to bother us, you know, so, and you're not bothering them either. So that's important, too.
Never. That is important. You're right. Because people, right. I can't even tell you how many times people have said, well, I don't want to keep talking to her about my problems and things like that. I don't want to keep bothering her. And it's like, now's the time. You can't bother them now,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And it's not bothering them because they're there. They want to be of service to us. They want to help us.
Absolutely. Now, would you also recommend, you know, typing a letter out, an email on the computer can be nice and it can be focused, but there's just nothing quite like pen to paper.
Yeah.
Would you recommend that as well
absolutely.
When they're writing these letters?
It's good to do it in your handwriting. It's, you know, it shows that you really took the time and the effort. But for those who don't want to spend so much time, it takes longer. And on a computer, you could delete, you know, and change the wording and things like that. So if that's the best, you know, if you can do that, that's fine too. And you know, they don't even have to write a letter if people don't like to sit down and take the time. They could tell their loved ones how much they love them and make sure, you know, to tell them. Don't wait till it's too late. You know, then you'll have regrets. You don't want to have regrets. You want to create peace in your life right here and now and let everyone know how much you appreciate them. Forgive them. And just create peace in your life.
Do you still use these kinds of letters today, or was just this primarily in the beginning for you?
Yes. I wrote the letters to my loved ones. It was in the book I talk about. We went through an experiment. There was a group of people who met monthly who sat down and wrote the different types of letters, myself included. And I did write the letters along with all of them. And after that, that's not all there is. You have to make sure it's an ongoing thing. It's not just the letters and then you just forget about them. You really want to listen to your loved ones and just tell them how much you feel. I'm not saying every minute of the day, but continually, you know, let them know how much you feel.
Sure.
And just offer your time and try to see through their eyes how you're affecting them. You know, it's an ongoing process.
When you help your clients out with some of this, you say that you've had some pretty amazing examples. Can you tell us of some of the things that your clients have experienced by going through this process?
Sure. There was one woman who I talk about in the book. Her name is Kathy. She had been going through therapy for a couple of years, and then she wrote the letters to her children and her husband, and incredible results. Her therapist said that the letters did in 1 month what years of therapy couldn't even come close to.
Wow.
So that was a, you know, very big healing experience, and myself included. When I wrote the letters, I had been going through a divorce myself, and just like everyone else, there, I was wrapped up in what was going on with me, you know, and I never wanted to hurt my children, you know, never, and or my ex-husband. It was a mutual thing, but you hurt them nonetheless, you know, when you do something like that. So when I sat down to write the letters to them, I wrote that in the letter. I never intended to hurt you, but this is what happened. No one was right or wrong. We were, you know, you, me and my, your dad were just very different from each other. And I tried to explain that to them. And you know what? Then they felt heard. You know, they were heard. They they knew that I saw through their eyes what they were experiencing. And, you know, everything changed with us. You know, we became more closer. I have three children. My daughter actually did a wonderful thing a couple of months after the letter that I had written to her. It was my birthday. And she asked me, you know, could we go out to eat? And with my son, my two sons and herself, we all go out to eat. And then afterwards, she had a surprise for me. So I said, of course, I always love to get together with them. And she said, when we get home, hello?
We're here. We're still here.
I'm hearing click, click, click. Maybe that's the angel telling us hello. She so a couple of months after that, she took me out. We went out to eat, and when I got home, she had this DVD ready. She plopped it in the DVD machine, and the first person that comes on is my mom, and she starts telling me how much she loves and appreciates me. Oh. And then all of my children, one by one, they talked about how much they loved and appreciated me and, you know, gratitude and all of that. So what she did was she took the concept of what I had done with the letter, and she took it a step further, and she put it together in a DVD for me, which I watch all the time. And my mom has since died. Oh. So it's a wonderful thing to just remind me of how much my mother loved me. Which I knew anyway, but sometimes it's good to hear it.
Oh, gosh, of course. And don't you think that by listening to that, that's your, you know, your go-to thing for now? You keep going back to that, and it raises up that vibration and that emotion and kind of calls your mom in, which I think is another way that people can get in touch with their loved ones, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And as we're talking about my mom, you were talking about very good experiences with the letter writing.
Right. With I want my more. Mom. Give me more.
yeah. I have another one, and this one was with myself. She always was a great mom. I was lucky for that. It was not a letter of forgiveness or regrets or anything. Maybe a little bit of regrets on my part that I should have spent more time with her. She lived a few hours away. But it was basically how much I loved her and, you know, all the things I appreciated. She was a single mom, and, you know, I always knew I was loved, that type of thing. So this letter was written a few years ago, and fast forward, a year and a half ago, my mom came down with cancer, and she was in hospice, and her hospital bed was in her living room, and I was visiting her. I went into her bedroom, and the letter that I had written to her a few years before was on her desk. So I took the letter out, and I put a chair next to her bed, and I just read the letter to her. And when she was very unresponsive. She was comatose. She was not responsive. And as I was reading the letter to her, she lifted her hands up to her eyes, and tears started to come down. So she heard me. And that was such a great thing that I had all the words I needed to say were right there. You know, I didn't have to think about what I needed to say to her. And those were my last words to her. So that was a great thing for myself that I did that.
Isn't it?
But I'm not telling people to wait.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting how we do what we do as psychics and mediums, and we still continue to have, I mean, people somehow think that we transcend all of that. And like you have this last moments with your mom, which is a beautiful thing. But I think that had to do more with your human self.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And because they somehow expect us to be like, oh, no, mom's not past. She's just crossed over. I know how the whole thing works, so I'm not sad. I'm not. Mm-hmm. But it affects you just as deeply as it does anybody else. It's still your mom, and you still had to go through this healing process, read her letter, this beautiful story. That's your human self experiencing that. We're not above it just because we're psychics and mediums.
Absolutely. We miss their physical presence. We know they're okay. I know my mom's okay, but I still miss her physical, you know, being here with me physically, you know, going to the store or coming over to visit, that type of thing. It is different when we know they're okay. Yes, absolutely. But I still ask her for signs. And I still get
why wouldn't you? Yes, I do all the time. It's fun, isn't it? When you ask for a sign and you get one, it's exhilarating, I think. It's a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, absolutely. People say they never get any signs from their loved ones. I say ask them. You know, maybe they're not aware that you want a sign from them. But when you ask, then be ready, because then you get signs. You know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so fun when that happens. And you were very lucky. I think so, you know, in contrast to that, and actually to kind of contradict myself about what I just talked about, it's still interesting because I think you were being led through all of that to read the letter to your mom, to talk to her one last time, the last words you spoke to her. All of that is divinely guided as well, because we do what we do, and we follow that spirit a little bit more, and it just kind of happens that way. So very lucky, because not everybody gets that chance to say goodbye in the way that you did.
Right. And I do want to say I was very lucky that I had that letter written, but I'm not telling people to wait till their loved one's dying moment to read the letter to them. I am saying to say before they die how much you love and appreciate them and forgive them. You know, nothing hurts you more than not forgiving someone else. There's a wonderful saying, it's not the snake bite that kills us. It's the venom that's left behind.
Right.
So when you forgive someone else, you help yourself as well, and you create peace in your life and in the other person's life too.
Right. Exactly. And people need to understand that. It's what do I say? What it migrates, it pollinates, doesn't it? It expands in each of you, not just separately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I completely believe in that. So writing letters is one of the ways that we can create that atmosphere now to heal with loved ones who are here. What else do you recommend? How else, from your perspective, can we maintain peace and, you know, harmony with our relationships, or heal broken relationships in this lifetime?
Okay, that's a very good question and very important one. It is so important to see through each person's eyes what they're going through, instead of seeing how they're affecting us. It's not as easy. Probably it's easy for yourself and myself because we're psychics and we're able to feel how the other person is feeling. But not everyone can go through that. But if you can try at least see what the other person is going through and have compassion instead of attacking them, especially if somebody's, maybe say someone's yelling at you and your first response is to yell back. Okay, say, whoa, what's going on here? You know, let's try to see where the other person's coming from. And when you're able to do that, everything changes. Then the other person has to stop. They're not going to, hopefully, they won't continue to scream or whatever.
Right.
You say, are you saying this? What's going on? I feel bad. Are you going through this? Or whatever. Little things like return emails, return phone calls, offer your time. You know, share and offer your help. But it's important, and this is one of the most important things I could tell the listeners, is to be there for yourself as well. Because too often light workers, those who are, you know, in the services, we are, you know, psychics, we're always doing for everyone else and we put ourselves last. But we should not put ourselves last. We're just as important as everyone else too. So that's one of the types of letters that I also talk about in the book, writing a letter to yourself.
And I want to talk about that, and I think I want to talk, we're going to get ready to go into commercial break here, so I want to talk more about that type of letter, because it's easy, easier sometimes when you're talking to somebody else. I find it the most confrontive or hardest or resistant for people to talk to themselves or to, you know, really look at what they are doing, and writing a letter would be direct contact with yourself. I like the way that feels. So when we come back, we're going to discuss I think more of that, you can tell us the type of letter or maybe how to get something like that started, and then we'll go into other parts of your book as well, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, we're going to be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Karen Noe, who is a renowned New Jersey-based psychic medium. We're talking about going over your life review in this life rather than having to wait to cross to the other side to do it. And we're going to be back more with her here on Psychic Access in just a few moments. Hang in there.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And welcome back, everyone. My name's Bobby Marcheso, and you're listening to Psychic Access with my other co-hosts, Lady Brenda, Steve, and Maureen. And our special guest tonight is Karen Noe, who is a renowned New Jersey-based psychic medium. We're talking about life review, how you can encounter your life review. What is that? Well, when you cross over, oftentimes we see things from a different source perspective. Bigger perspective, and we're able to see some of the things where we could have done things maybe differently, said it differently, been there more, just little regrets that we might encounter. Well, you don't have to wait till you cross to the other side before you do that. You can do it in this lifetime, and our guest Karen Noe is throwing some wonderful suggestions on how we can do that, different types of things that you can do. We've talked earlier about writing letters to your loved ones, writing letters to those who are not only here, but on the other side as well. A great form of self-healing, Karen started to tell us before the break, is writing a letter to yourself. So how does that begin, Karen? Again, I can just see the hesitancy, I think, with a lot of people to start going, okay, dear me. And then where does it begin from
this
there?
This is the most healing of all the letters.
Oh, I believe it.
After we cross over, we're able to see how we have affected ourselves as well. And many of us put ourselves last. So what this type of letter is, and it was actually the hardest one for me to write to myself, you know, you have to write as if you're talking to someone else. You're stepping back, and you're writing as if, like I said, Dear Karen. So you're pretending you're talking to someone else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, and then you discuss why you love yourself, your proudest accomplishments, your good qualities, and you know what? Too often, I know it was so hard for me to come up with that. You know, I always tell people how great they are and, you know, the good qualities that they have, and I just couldn't see it in myself. I would have told them, but I never considered it in myself, so that was very difficult for me. And then you want to make sure you write and tell yourself what you could do differently in your life to make your life better. So when I wrote the letter to myself, I said, okay, you have to make sure to spend more time doing the things you want to do because you deserve it. Do you see what I mean? In other words, I'm talking to myself as if I'm someone else. Okay, and if you're unhappy with certain things you've done, you state why you forgive yourself because you truly didn't want to hurt anybody else. So in my own letter, I wrote, I had to forgive myself how I hurt those in my life when I went through the divorce. And I said I never meant to intentionally, you know, I never intentionally tried to hurt anybody, but I did nonetheless. But this is why. And then I said why. So you could understand it from a bigger perspective.
Right.
And then you want to end it with loving, positive statements. Okay, so it's a very loving, it's not putting yourself down. I had people in the group putting themselves down. That was not at all what we were talking about. It has to be a loving, positive letter, how you could create peace in your own life, how to make your life better by seeing it through, you know, bigger perspective.
Right.
It's very difficult, but it's well worth it.
It can be, yeah. But like you said, the reward is is amazing, I think. When you actually sit and take the time to do that, once I think you get over that hump, it becomes easier, doesn't it? Then maybe you find yourself not being able to put the pen down.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. And then you say, yeah, yeah, I'm proud of you, girl. That's what I said at the end of the letter. Yeah, yeah, you did a great, you did good, girl. And I was just, then I was really pumped up. But it takes a while. Because, too often, as I said before, I never saw those qualities in myself. I would see them in other people. So do that with yourself. And even if it's something little, expand on it. Whatever it is. You're a good artist, or you could do this, whatever it is.
Yeah. And do you recommend maybe doing that letter first? I think it goes both ways. Like if you do that letter first for yourself, you put yourself in a really good place to be able to look at others or through others. But at the same time, looking through others, it might be easier to kind of step more towards yourself. I don't know. What do you recommend?
Well, I would say whatever feels most comfortable for you. I wrote that letter last, again, because I put myself last all the time. But I think what you're saying is a very good idea is to do it first. And try to see through your eyes. And then you could, when you see through your own eyes, then you could see through other people's eyes as well. So that is a good idea. Maybe I should recommend that next time. I always put myself last as well as with the letters. So,
yeah.
Good idea.
Interesting. Okay. Well, so in forgiving those loved ones who are here and when they've crossed over, why do you think it's so difficult
to try to forgive someone?
To forgive our deceased loved ones and the ones who are living here. I mean, it just seems like it's really hard for a lot of people to do.
Yeah.
Is it just because they can't seem to get out of that smaller perspective? Like they just can't seem to see how it injures the other person, or they're too busy feeling wrong?
They're just trying to see, like they could feel like they're victims. Like, in other words, how they were affected by the other person. Rightfully so. Some of the experiences, things that happened, and people were telling me during the experiment. I had one woman in the group, her name was Donna, and her mother physically and mentally abused her whole life. So it was very difficult for her to try to see through her mother's eyes, why she did what she did, or how she affected her mother, But
once
she did that, that was such a healing experience for her. She had been through years of therapy. She tried everything, inner child work, everything, and nothing worked. And finally, she said she was able to see and finally be at peace when she saw that her mother was the youngest of 8 children and never experienced love and didn't know how to, give love and things like that. Does it make it right the way her mother treated her? Absolutely not. But she was able to see why, and it created such a healing within her, and she was finally able to forgive her mom.
Isn't that interesting? Because I had a session just today where the mom's mom came through and explained about how she was raised and that she didn't know any different. And then she was extending that, saying that she healed from her mom and was hoping that her daughter could do the same through her, and the daughter totally got it. And it's a bigger perspective, understanding that her mom was little once and didn't have a great childhood. The things that you hate seeing little kids go through and being yelled at and maybe verbally abused. You understand why your parents went through what they went through, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult.
And when she was able to see that, then she was able to heal, I'm sure, as well. She understood her mom better.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then the forgiveness begins. I love your self-motivated letters. I think that, you don't always have a chance to talk to a medium. You don't always have a chance to be tuned into your loved ones. And I think generating a letter on your own, that it's perfect. And then I'm with you. I think that they will totally get a sign, start having dreams, just feel closer to the loved one who's maybe crossed over, and can hugely affect the healing process.
Yes, and that you mentioned dreams, and I wanted to bring something out about that. When we ask our loved ones to come in a dream, there's two types of dreams. There's one, if you dream of your loved one, there's a subconscious dream, and that's one of regrets and you're afraid how they died, all that. That is not your loved one coming through. That's your subconscious. So when you have a bad dream or it's uncomfortable and it's you're afraid, that's your subconscious. A true visitation from your loved one will be very peaceful, and you wake up and you know without a doubt they were there. I'm sure our listeners have had that type of dream, and that's what I'm talking about. So ask them to come to a dream, but to wake you up after the dream so that you remember, or else you won't remember the dream.
Yeah, that's a very good point. There's a lot of clients that have been truly upset by dreams they've had about their loved ones crying or suffering or trying to tell them something and can't open their mouth, or so many times, and you feel for me like, oh my gosh, you finally wait for a dream from your loved one and then you get that and you think that's them. It's kind of heartbreaking sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that would be a subconscious dream. That's what they're worrying about. And you could tell the difference when you do have the dream. I always like to bring the experiences I have with my own mom, because I have so many experiences with my mom. I just wanted to hear her audible voice. And we were talking before. I know she's okay, and I feel her around, and I do get signs, but I want to hear her voice, you know? So I said to her, Mom, I need to hear your voice one more time. So, yeah, so one day I was home from work, and I actually was taking a nap. And I had a quote-unquote dream, but it wasn't a dream. It was truly my mom, I know without a doubt. And I was in a crowded place. Her voice comes over the loudspeaker, and she says, I have an important announcement. I have an important announcement. I am okay, and I love you.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. And I was just so excited. I said, Mom, who are you with? And I heard she was just mumbling something. I said, Mom, I didn't hear you. What'd you say? And she said, Nanny. And Nanny's her mom.
Oh.
With that, the phone rang. Yeah, the phone rang, woke me up. And I was able to remember the dream. And you know what? I feel like I felt like I won the lottery, because it was truly her. It was her voice.
It's so exhilarating. I you make me want to do that with my father, to hear his voice. That's fun. I get signs all the time, but that would be fun.
You know why that's fun? That's their physical. That's what you remember them as. You know, the physical voice.
Yeah. What are some of the other, you know, Steve, our co-host, is also a medium as well as I am. And we love those physical signs or particular signs that show there's truly life after death, that they are there, that they do pay attention. And it's nice, I think, from some perspectives to give a person, you know, when the names come through or a birth date, or to say they see that you've been going through a hard time, you know, yada, 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 and describe things. But sometimes there's more of that comes through, when it's just so, you just know that there's truly life after death. Now, we know it, again, because we do it all the time. But when you're talking with a client, what are some of the ways, some of your favorite readings that help your clients know that their parents or whoever they're getting in touch with are truly there? What's some of the stories that you can share with us?
Some of my favorite readings?
Is there one that stands out in particular where it's just like there was just no doubt in the person? I love getting gasps, you know, when you do something and everybody's like, oh, my God.
There was one. Right. I talk about this at the end of Through the Eyes of Another. There's an appendix, and I have some of my favorite stories in there. There was one, I was teaching a class, and I'm booked for 2 years ahead of time, so I wasn't able to take some people. They decided to come to my class instead. So they were in the class, and as I'm teaching about how to connect with, and by the way, we all can do this. We all could connect with our loved ones, our deceased loved ones. It's not just me or you. We're all able to do this. It's just that we have to, you know, be more aware of how to do this.
Well, that
okay,
just
so I'm teaching
that,
the class.
I've been telling them it's just me and Steve.
Isn't
and
that
you.
True, though? We all could do it.
See, I've been telling everybody, Karen, that it's just Karen, Bobby, and Steve that can do this. So you just blew that. Thanks.
Oh. I think we just have to be more aware of how they're coming to us and look for signs. And, you know, as I said before, they come as thoughts, and they're giving us, you know, they love to play with electricity. They show us the same numbers over and over. They may cut us off, and it's a license plate as their birthday and things like that. And they're doing it all the time. If we ignore them, they'll stop, because they're not being heard. But if we're more aware of it, they'll continue to give us these wonderful signs. You know? But as I was giving this class, I was talking about how to connect with deceased loved ones. And as I was talking, someone's father was coming through right in the middle of the class. And I said, I'm sorry, I just have to stop. There's someone here named Tom. he says he's somebody's father. He just passed this week or something like that. And this girl, she raises her hand. She said, that's my father. He passed this week. And she said, but there's something very important I need to know. She said, we're selling the house, and I wanted to know where the money is. Where's the money? You know, we hid money in the house, and
right.
We don't know where it is. So as you know, we can't always get the answer that they want, right?
No.
So I said, oh, geez, but I'll ask, but I don't know if he's going to answer. But just as I was asking, he shows me the attic, and he shows me insulation in the corner on the right-hand side of the attic, and he's pulling it down. So I was telling that to the woman, and I said, she's showing me the attic and the insulation. Go home and see if it's there. Well, after the class was over, and I'm cleaning up, the phone rings. And it's the woman. Her name is Teresa, and she's just so excited. She says, oh, my gosh. She said, I went where my dad said, and there was a substantial amount of money there.
Oh, my.
So she was
heavens.
All excited, and she said, that's proof that without a doubt her dad is around her, you know, without a doubt. And she also was given the money that her father wanted her to have. So that was a good story. You know, there's a lot of those. I love those stories, you know, when they know that their loved ones truly are around them. There could be no other explanation.
Yeah. I love those, too, because I don't always get those. I've had it once where, you know, where's the will type of thing.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I said, no, I'm not going to answer that, you know, because I just know you just can't get that information sometimes. But then we
went
on with the reading, and then all of a sudden later he shows me, and I'll be gosh darned if they didn't go home and find it there. And that surprised even me. I'm like, you're kidding.
Yeah, don't you say, wow, really? I know. It's great. It's great.
It's so funny.
When that
so
happens.
In your experience then, through all of the healing, through all of the going through our life review, what have you discovered, again, from your perspective, what our true purpose is?
Very good question. Our true purpose is to love. We are love. And when we remember who we are, and we extend that love to everyone else, we will create peace in our lives and in the world as well. So that is our true purpose. We all have different things that we should do with our lives, but the bottom line is always love.
Always. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Tell us more. We just have a couple of minutes left in the interview. Tell us more about your new book. And then you also have a healing center as well, if you'd like to talk about that.
Yes. My healing center is in Ramsey, New Jersey. I teach classes, and I am booked 2 years ahead of time. I stopped taking appointments for now because I don't have a calendar beyond that point, but I do teach classes, and I have a website. It's www.karennoe.com. That's KarenNoe.com. If they want to learn more about my book or my classes or anything like that. And I was just so excited. My book is now with Hay House.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Book.
Congratulations.
Yeah. That's a story in itself, but we don't have time. But yeah, that was a wonderful, wonderful. It was published with Balboa Press, and Reed Tracy contacted me and said, would you be willing to come aboard with us at Hay House? I said, would I be willing? You bet.
Did you tell him I have to think about it? I'll get back with you.
Yeah. It's just my dream. So what a wonderful experience. But I want to tell listeners that if we're able to see through other people's point of view, you don't have to wait till you die to see the bigger perspective. Do it right here and right now and create peace in your life. You won't regret it.
Won't regret it at all. Karen Noe, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being able to come on the show. Busy schedule. I love what you do. So many facts and information, things that you and I both that I just so resonate with and agree with as we have this commonality. So, again, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm going to write you a letter after the show.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me on the show. It was great.
With love and appreciation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Take care now. And there she is, Karen Noe. Oh, very fascinating, and I like the unique approach of writing letters out to your loved ones and especially to yourself. That's a great, if you didn't hear all of the show and you're just now tuning in, please go back into our archives and listen to some very important points on how to not only heal with loved ones who have crossed over, but heal with those who are still living. You don't have to wait. And it's one of the I think most important messages that any medium can give is to do it now so you don't have to come back later to us to do it for you. So let's take just a few moments to make a few announcements. We have the second part of the show. We have one of our famous listeners, Julie, who's in the chat room. This is her favorite part of the show when we get to chat everything out and we talk about the show. She loves that part. So we'll be doing that here in a few moments. But then the second half of the show, you're going to be able to get your free on-air reading, and it's with myself, Lady Brenda, Maureen, and Steve. And we'll announce the call-in number a little bit later in the show. So if you need to write it down, please do. Or if you're in the chat room, Maureen will put it up for you, and you'll be able to access that. So if you were unable to catch last week's show, you will find a recorded archive link, as well as archives of all of the previous shows on Psychic Access Talk Radio. Just go to the Archives tab. Feel free, of course, once you hear some of the archives. If you think there's something, sometimes you'll listen to a show and you're like, oh, I bet so-and-so would really get into this, or I bet this is good information for so-and-so. Pass it along. Give the link along. It's free to anybody that comes on, that you can listen to the archives and learn so much. We want to connect with as many individuals as possible. So if you get an opportunity to share the links with others, we would really appreciate it. Something else that might also be of benefit for you is if you visit our Psychic Bloggers site, and it's at psychicbloggers.com. You can learn everything. There are so many articles and such written by the Psychic Access psychics, and you can find out so much from the paranormal, reincarnation, how to develop your own psychic development. We have several mediums on staff as well that write about their experiences and how you can be more in touch with your loved ones. I think it's important. It's one of the biggest questions I get is, how do I feel closer to my loved ones? You can find out. Again, that's at psychicbloggers.com. And then also, if you're interested in having a reading from one of the best professional psychics on the net, you can visit us at psychicaccess.com, and it's literally the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics. Each have their own unique gifts. Each psychic has detailed profiles for you. You can find out more about them, see if you even resonate with them or connect with them before you even choose them from the list. It's a wonderful, I like that part of it, that you're able to actually read more about who it is that you're going to be talking to before you decide to have a reading from them. But they are, again, every one of them are very authentic and gifted and has a high detailed profile. So be sure to check that out as well. Doug, who makes it very, very, well, it's the high expectations that he has of each psychic, and it, again, it makes it a pleasure to work at Psychic Access. All of the co-hosts tonight, Lady Brenda, Steve, and Maureen, also work at Psychic Access, and myself. If you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, just let us know and visit psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you're interested in, maybe not, if you want to do psychic readings for Psychic Access, you can certainly apply to do that. But if you're wanting to make a little extra income, you help us, we'll help you. If you're a site owner, a webmaster, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that's referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, you can again visit us at psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And don't forget, again, to invite your friends to come into the chat room. I've seen that myself, and it's wonderful when you can invite the friends in. Just come see what it's all about. Listen to the show. See if it's for you. And then afterwards, maybe get a reading from one of our gifted co-hosts. And it's a great way to be able to pass on the show's link and what it is that we do here. The call-in number. Now, I just want to make this clear. Don't call in now. Don't do it. However, in about 15 to 20 minutes, we'll be taking free readings, free phone calls, 724-444-4851, 724-444-4851, and we'll take calls again. Give us about 20 minutes or so, and if we have time, a lot of people always ask if we're going to be taking questions from the chat room. If we have time for that, we can fit them in. Doug will absolutely cover you, and we'll do our readings from the chat room as well. Now it's our segment that I would lovingly like to dedicate to Julie, one of our most consistent, dedicated listeners. It is now the Talking Psychics segment of the show. Let's bring in Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Bobby.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Kept awake.
A good interview.
You were awake during the show? Everything was all right?
I had a sleep, but I set my alarm for this part.
You need your naps. I totally get it.
Well, I really liked the interview. I felt that your guest had a really nice energy and great integrity. I liked what she said.
She's hugely connected, isn't she?
Yes. Yeah, very gentle.
So what's your approach to, you know, this lifetime? We talk about our life review, and I would like to think that I'm sure not all of my life review has been taken care of, obviously, and I will still get to see a lot when I cross over. But
I can do it now if you want, Bobby, on air.
Could you? That would be great. Would it or I think it would take a lot longer.
Yeah, well, here's the result.
We're having Skype problems. Sorry, Steve had to go just now. To spiritual development. We try to develop as much as we can during this lifetime.
Behave yourself.
Brenda.
Oh, that was lady.
No, I don't like that rule.
Well, there could be consequences of that now.
Well, spiritual development. You know, sometimes people seem to suggest that, you know, they'll take care of their spiritual development once they pass to spirit, or that's where they'll do the majority of their work, and that they don't necessarily need to address their issues or their growth potential in this lifetime. And I was taught that's a mistake, that we come here to evolve, and in the sometimes very challenging conditions of this physical world, this physical lifetime, we have enormous opportunities to grow. And in actual fact, we can do more growth more quickly here than in spirit. So I believe that we should each be really aiming to evolve as much as we can during this lifetime in the physical world. And I also know that we have a physical body, but we each have an astral body on the astral plane. I think I've explained that before, and that the two communicate with each other through electromagnetism. But above the astral plane is the spiritual plane, or the spirit realm. And really, we're aiming to grow or develop a spiritual body, a presence on the spiritual realm, indicating that we are more evolved. So I believe that life is about development, about identifying and reaching developmental objectives, using our innate talents and contributing to human welfare. And the more we do that, the more life unfolds for us, the more we're rewarded and recognized, and the more we build and create that presence on the spiritual realm, the more we earn that place.
You know, I've never heard somebody say that they'll just wait till they get to the other side. That is so outrageous to me.
You hear it all, don't you? You hear the lady that says, "When will my husband die? I'm thinking of taking out an insurance policy, a life insurance policy." I mean, you hear it all in this field. But yeah, you do. I mean, if you look at the way most people live their lives, and it's not a criticism, I used to live this way, but we're too engaged in the mundane. You know, what will I wear at the party? How will I get a bigger house? Etc., etc. And we're here to grow dramatically.
Absolutely.
And not everybody is embracing that opportunity to evolve rapidly.
It's like going to college and not taking any of the classes, right? You just go to the dorms and party, right? But you don't actually go to the courses, and that's why you're there, is to increase your spiritualism, I think, exponentially. If you pay attention and do that, you can so accelerate your human spirit, and to not take advantage of that just seems absurd to me.
It does. It does. I've heard that.
Wow.
people thinking that, you know, they have their life review, and after the life review they go on and they address their issues and they get support addressing their issues, which I'm sure we do, but I don't feel that we should wait for any surprises in a life review. It's a little bit like, you know, if you're taking an exam, if you're well prepared, you know where you might struggle, and you address that so that there aren't any ugly surprises in your exam results. It's the same with a performance review, isn't it? You don't want to go into a performance review with a manager and have a surprise. You should know where your issues are, and you should be working on them and ready to have the conversation. Absolutely. So I hope that there aren't any horrible surprises in my life review. I know that there'll be some things that I will be disappointed by.
Yeah.
But I hope that I can do the work in the remainder of my life to show that I've overcome those challenges.
Absolutely. Amen. Nicely said. Maureen, nothing in your life review could be scary or intimidating. I'm thinking it's just going to be quick 5 seconds. They're going to say nicely done and send you on your way.
I doubt it.
Really? Like a theater, everybody's going to grab popcorn and...
You know, I really liked your guest. I really liked her topic and how it kind of covered a lot of different things. It wasn't just about... You know, it wasn't just about someone dying and you know, you making amends with that person or, you know, so on. This is what I got from it anyway. But talking about a life review, from what my understanding is from what this interview was about somebody being here and now, oops, hold on, I'm at my mother's. Okay, somebody having their life review while they're alive and people embracing that, correct? Until after they go. And I experienced that observing this completely on the opposite when my father died, that people forgot about what his life review and he was here, still here, and it wasn't honored until after he died. Do you follow me?
Absolutely.
And that broke my heart. It really broke my heart because everything I was hearing in this interview, I really, really liked it because it was so diverse. It was a bit of a diverse type of topic, I guess I would call it. I hope you're following me on that one too. And so I was listening to it and it did break my heart because it's about what people should be doing in this life until after they leave. And then you sit there and go, oh, these great things and his life review and whatever. And instead I watched complete opposite happen. And I watched it through the eyes or through the way of people that supposedly were the closest to him.
Right.
And that, to me, is a big eye-opener. So when I was listening to the interview, I was relating to it, but in a different way, you know?
I think you relate to it in the way that fits for you most.
Yeah, So that's my honest insight into what I had to say on that.
That's all about that. Mm-hmm. Or what, that's all I have to say.
Yes, all I have to say, yeah. Thanks for listening.
All right, let's bring Brenda on board. Hello.
Hi there.
This thing is to let right here. Dear Brenda, behave.
Oh, behave. Well, you know, I liked what she said about the letters because I just have to say, just to throw this out here, that I received some letters after my mother-in-law died, and it cleared a lot up about who she was in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. And
interesting.
Well, it's because, you know, in this lifetime, she was so burdened by bitterness from her past. And then after she started coming to me right after she died and speaking to me, and each time that she would come to me in dreams, she would be sometimes different ages, you know, but she was very light and open, which she hadn't been in her life here on Earth, but on the other side she was. And then after I read those letters, I had understood why she had worn a mask in this lifetime. It was very interesting.
That would be an eye opener, I think, because you've also grown up so much. You know what I mean? We're complete adults now, and to look at it from that perspective, I've always said I wish I knew my dad now as I am, mm-hmm. rather than him as I was when he crossed over.
Yeah, I think we kind of talk about that last Sunday. We had a conversation. It was interesting. It kind of like segues into this interview that you're doing now, and I agree totally with what Steve says about, you know, working on yourself in this lifetime so that you can, you know, advance in the next, because it's so easy to put ourselves in a downward spiral, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, do you know what I mean? And, you know, think negative thoughts, do negative things to our body that brings us down rather than work on ourselves in an upward spiral so that the next lifetime we are advanced in some way, things are easier for us, you know. And I've also of the belief too that people in this lifetime that do our type of work are given it for a reason, because we are the ones that can do it, that have it. It's not easy work. It's not.
But you can't just duck it either. That's why you're here, to do the best, to have these human experiences, to go through crap and contrast, to expand into the next spiritual development. This is it, why we're here. And a lot of people just like sit down with their ball and cry and just want to go home.
You know? Or they just feel like, you know, they're a rat in a cage and they're going round and round and round. But you have to be able to and by doing these spiritual lessons and even, you know, if you don't do it, sometimes it finds you. Like this whole thing with the letters that I received from my mother-in-law. It's like I knew there was something going on and nobody understood her and stuff. But when I got those packets of letters, and of course I read every single one of them, they were from the 50s, and it totally explained everything to me. But she had meant those to go to me. And I was not her favorite, okay? I was the devil to her, okay? But I was the one who could see her and understand her. So...
I like that. Thank you so much. It's a great,
great
story. So, with the letters and such, have you ever written letters to spirit yourself?
Yes.
Sorry,
you asking me, Bobby, or Brenda?
Steve, sorry.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I regularly write to spirit.
For yourself, or is this for clients, or in what capacity?
Well, I journal a lot, and in my journal I will speak directly to spirit in written form, and I often just speak openly to spirit, articulating things I might like to happen, or saying what support I might need. And I know that they listen, because things happen magically when I do that. There is something very powerful about doing it in written form. But I do also encourage clients to write to people that have passed. A number of times I've know that clients have gone home and written a letter to somebody that's passed in spirit, and then either seen the person or had an extremely vivid communication in dream state.
Mm. That's very interesting. And is that... are they your spirit loved ones, or do you sometimes get dreams of spirit or loved ones that come through for other people unbidden? In other words, like sometimes I'll have a dream or that kind of contact if I know I'm having an appointment the next day. But
yes.
Just blue, hey, get a message to so-and-so. You know what I mean? Like I've never had those types of visitations yet.
Yeah, I have dreams that are like... classes. It's like attending a lecture.
Mm.
and you can sit and listen to what's being taught by spiritual teachers. So I experience that quite regularly, and that's really exciting because I learn things that I didn't know or wasn't consciously aware of. You know, I believe, Bobby, absolutely, that when we sleep, we're allowing the physical being to repair itself, to regenerate and heal, and the spirit is able to go and more clearly experience the astral realm. And on the astral plane, we can do all manner of things, and we can go to classes and learn. We can gather insights. We can set intentions before we sleep. Say, you know, I would like to receive inspiration for the book I'm writing or the project I'm working on. And we do receive that. But I do have dreams with relatives. I occasionally have a very, very vivid dream about one of my guides. I remember when I was about 15 having a dream and waking up, and it was just so much more than a dream. I just knew that it wasn't a dream, that it was very real. And I can't explain that feeling in words. All I can say is I just knew there's no way that was a dream. It
right.
was so much more than the sensation of a dream. But like you said, you know, sometimes you can have a client and you dream, or you're given information in your dreams that are information that's relevant to that client you might be seeing. I often find that when I'm seeing a client who's lost a child, the child comes in and communicates clearly in dream state. Or I'll see the child in my home the evening before.
Oh, that's interesting. Just particularly children like that?
Seems to be, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I've noticed that certain things about this work, and I don't know, I mean, I know some of it has to do with me and who I am, and so you attract certain things, but for whatever reason, suicides have always come around, you know what I mean? And I don't have anybody close to me who committed suicide, but it's just like you said with the children, for you that has been your experience. My experience is suicides that come through, and those who have lost children to miscarriages and such. So it's interesting how certain points always seem to be relevant. You know what I mean? Like they come about more than other times.
Yeah, it seems as though when there's a great need for healing, or there's been great trauma, then
absolutely
we really receive those very clear communications.
Like it.
I liked what your guests were saying about calling on spirit. I know that certain people say you shouldn't call on spirit. And your guest said words to the effect of, well, of course we can ask them to communicate. They want to be present. They want to help us. And I actually now with clients will say, you know, who do you want to connect with? Give me the name. And then we just go straight to it from there. And I don't feel any issue doing that.
No, not at all. I've that's exactly how I do it. But and sometimes with my own spirit, you know, I feel very much in tune that whichever spirit or spirit guide knows what it is that I want. But sometimes there's just that need to communicate it. There's just that need to say it. And, you know what I mean?
And yes.
So, all right. Thank you, Steve. Maureen, what about for you with...
Yeah.
Element in his lifetime. I'm sure that you.
Oh, he's breaking up now. Breaking up now, Bobby. Can't handle it.
Oh, am I?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I do want to add something even before you break into breakdance. And you brought something interesting up, and I just remembered it. I guess I. Didn't want to. I want to remember it, but I forgot about it.
Just hit you.
I forgot about it. I just put it away for a while. But I had a daughter. She was 6 months old inside me, and so I lost her by she didn't hit full term, and her name was Madeline Rose, and I got a lot of crap about that, calling her that, but her name was, I know, Madeline Rose, and that was her, and she was lovely, and she didn't make it, but she was, I was 6 months along, and that's, you know, a pretty big baby there. Anyway, I remember her coming to me later And I know her date of, you know, her, when she was, it was June 11th, and I had a whatever. And Mariah, my daughter now, is with me, and she just turned 21. I'm very proud of her. You've heard me talk about her, and she's a neuroscience major at four-year college. She's graduating, and I love her to death. And the thing of it was, the Madeline Rose had come to me, and she said, and I remember this, and she never has had come to me before, and it was, I guess I was around 30, I was pregnant with Mariah, I was 31, I had Mariah at 31, so right before I delivered Mariah, or she came C-section, she said to me, she goes, you know what, she goes, I'm stepping aside, and, you know, I don't know if she was, I don't remember if it was a form like a little baby, but it was like, it was her spirit, it was her energy, and she goes, I'm stepping aside because I think you were Mariah. She said, I'm going to step aside because I think you're going to be a much better fit for Mariah. And I kind of put that in the back of my mind for a long time, and I just reflected on it. Yeah, and she goes, I'm stepping aside, and it wasn't a bad thing. I mean, I lost her, you know. I prayed, I loved her too, but yeah. Mariah, I would have never had Mariah if it wasn't for her stepping aside. I wasn't in the type of way I wasn't planning children during that time period. It wasn't like, you know, that. Yeah.
But I've seen that before. Terminations of pregnancy and things like that have always made way for the children. Not always, but, you know,
it's supposed to be a different one. Mariah was supposed to come through. And like I said, if I had had Madeline Rose, she would have been laughed at. But if that had gone to full term and she would have been born into the world, I would never have had Mariah. It wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have happened.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
It's interesting when you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Very big source. People. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Maureen.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. It is time. Let me give you the telephone number: 724-444-4851. Absolutely zero zilch, nada, bupkis. It's all for free. Give us a call. And we'd love to take your questions. Again, with one of my co-hosts, Steve, Brenda, and Maureen, we'll be taking your calls right now. Do us a favor. We don't have a lot of time with each person. We want to get in as many phone calls as possible. So if you could just do us a favor and just be very pinpointed about your question. Let's just get right to the point. No general type, what do you just see around me types of things. If you could just, most people have something on their mind and something they want to know about, and we're more than happy to help you. We just want to have you help us help you in a way of just let us know what it is that you want. And again, be very as concise as you will. Also, we're only going to be able just to take one question. I apologize now if we have to cut you off because we got to get to more callers, but just one question per person. Give us a call in now, 724-444-4851. We'd love to talk with you. And in fact, Steve is up first. He has his first caller from New Jersey.
Thank you, Bobby. Who's calling from New Jersey?
I am. My name
Hi.
Is Cynthia.
What's your name?
Cynthia.
Cynthia, how can we help?
Thank you for taking my call. I've just lost both my parents, and I was wondering if they really want me to sell their house or not. I had really not much time to prepare with them, so I'm having a hard time making a decision what to do.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that, Cynthia. No, I'm really drawn back to the month of May, to be honest. My guides just give me the month of May. May.
That's it.
They say that May is very important, very significant to you. And if I give you the month of May, they say, you know that we're connecting with your parents.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
My dad passed away in May.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear it. The answer I get to your question is absolutely yes, you should.
Okay.
But what I get very clearly is, they just want you to do what's right for you, what makes life easiest for you now. You did a wonderful job taking care of them.
Thank you for telling me that. I wasn't sure they were okay with their care.
and you did a wonderful job. And you've got a challenging life to juggle. You did a wonderful job. And I know that you held your mother very closely, and she she says that she, you must have held her fully. You know, I don't just feel you holding her hand. I feel you really fully embracing her. And she says that she wasn't conscious. So you weren't sure if she knew that you were holding her that way. And she absolutely did. And they want you to do whatever makes your life easiest now. They worked to have that home, and they want you to benefit from it in whatever way makes your life easiest and most comfortable. But they're both together. They have a very close relationship.
Oh, yes. They were like one person.
Yeah, they're extremely close, and they're absolutely together. I like the fact as well that, you know, even though they were elderly, they would hold hands. You know, as when people first fall in love, they hold hands, and right at the end, toward the end of their lives, they were still holding hands.
Yes, absolutely, like, that was them. You know, absolutely,
it's beautiful, isn't it? It's the kind of relationship I hope to have. That I hope that my partner and I at that age are still talking and still crazy in love and holding hands, because it's beautiful. So they are that way. They're handing you tulips for some reason. I've got red tulips and yellow tulips. And
they say do what
is right for you. And I feel that if you do sell, the property will sell by the end of April.
All right.
Okay.
All right. And may I just ask, was my father okay with the way I handled his death? It was days and days. I didn't know what to do.
You did what you needed to do. I feel as though his passing was complex. His passing was complex.
Yes, it was.
It was very complex. So, unfortunately for you, it wasn't he didn't just go suddenly and simply.
No, it wasn't clear cut, and I still lay awake at night wondering if I did the right thing. So
you made the right choices, perfectly aligned with the timing that he wanted, and he thinks the world of you. And February must be an important month as well. They give you February as well, but
that's both my sons were born in February.
Yeah, they refer to February as a time of celebration. So you've done a good job. They're fine. Nobody dies. We just transition when you see.
Yes, we're just on another screen.
Yeah, you see, we're in the physical.
Hello?
He cut out there.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I went
oh, there he is.
Sorry.
I lost you.
In the physical
Just for a
world,
moment, maybe you went to the other screen.
I know. That's what I thought. We were talking about the other side. Right. Oh, there he goes.
Just very quickly.
This has been just unbelievably wonderful.
Well, thank you.
I can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you. They're with you, and they're fine. You've done all the right things. Now do what you need to do to make your life simple and enjoyable, okay?
All right. And may I have your name, please?
It's Steve.
Steve. Okay.
Yes.
And I can always reach you at this number, or?
Well, I'm one of the readers on Psychic Access. My name on Psychic Access is Quantum Matters, but you can find me on Psychic Access like the other hosts on the show. We're all there.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you, Steve. Tell my parents I love them.
They care. You don't need me.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I always like that when they're like, tell my dad I love him. And I'm like, well, you just did. they just heard you.
Mediumship questions. We rarely get mediumship questions.
Rarely. I was so excited. I think that's the first mediumship question we've had since I've been doing the show with you guys, and I love that. That is so awesome. So very, very nicely done, Steve, because I haven't really had an opportunity to listen to you do a mediumship reading, and it was wonderful. Very wonderful. Okay, so up next we have Brenda, and I believe you have a caller from Texas, Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Texas. Hey.
How are you? Hi. I have a question for you. I just wanted to know what you see in my future unveiling. So my current situation, and there's someone in my situation as well.
Okay, can you say that again? You had a little bit of interference right there.
I just wanted to know what's going, if you can see what's going on in my future.
Okay.
I'm married now, and there's a certain special someone in my life, and I just don't know which path I should be going in.
Okay, let me see here. Well, the first thing I see is everything that's happening here is part of a movement in your life in the area of love. I know that you've got a fascination towards this other person, and there's definitely an energy and a past life connection. The whole ball of wax is there, okay? However, what I'm seeing is that the role of this person in your life is not as clear as you think it might be. I do believe that this person holds up to you and opens your heart to love, but I also feel that he's hiding something from you, or maybe he's not telling you everything, or that he has another life. Do you see what I mean? And in that instance, I feel that when these things happen, even though it's really confusing and it makes you question, oh my God, you know, how do I feel about my husband? How do I feel, you know, what's going on here? Am I really like, you know, do I want to really do this thing? I feel that it's happening so that you can take a good look at the relationship that you have right now, because there's still so much and so much richness in that relationship that's kind of been clouded by, I don't know, I would rather say the glitter of the other thing, or the allure of the other thing is what I see. I hope this is making sense to you, because I'm seeing that it feels hard and elusive with this other person. Like the communication is weird, and even though it's stimulating, it feels weird.
Okay, so is there a future with this person, or do I move forward?
I have to tell you honestly, and I'm just going to put it out there, this is a physical attraction, but I don't see it going forward into anything that is going to manifest into future stuff. I don't see it.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you step back from it, you're going to see the same thing. It's serving a purpose, but it's not for that. It's not for a future connection and you live happily ever after. I just don't see it, because I feel that there's a lot that you're not seeing about this person. You're only seeing one side.
Right. And I am. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
You know, it's a cosmic tease. It's one of these cosmic tease things. You know what? But turn it on itself and see what it's really doing. It has the power to enrich other areas of your life.
And it has. So, yeah, it's opened up a lot. I've seen a lot.
Mm-hmm. So.
Thank you. Well, thank you very
right.
much.
Hang in there, my dear.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Honest to the core. I like it.
Yeah, thank no, you the, if it's
you
there,
to
you gotta see it.
Yes, I am.
You have to be. You have to let the person know. We have a lot of people giving us disinformation all over the place. You don't call us to blow your skirt up, as it were. We have to give the information like we see it. So nicely
poodle,
done, Brenda.
Poodle and, skirt.
Whatever blows your poodle skirt up, there you go.
Ooh, a poodle
for more
skirt.
Honest information, don't forget you can get a hold of Brenda as well, also on Psychic Access. And one of our other, probably the most famous person on Psychic Access is going to be Maureen. Hi, Maureen.
You're just something. Hi.
And she has a call from New York.
Go Hi, ahead, New York. Maureen. Something, Bobby. Hi, New York. This is Maureen. Hello.
Hello. Hi, how are you, Maureen? My name's Beth.
Hi,
I'm
Beth.
Calling because I moved from my home in New Jersey down to Key West, Florida about 10 months ago with my husband, and everything is perfect for our relationship. We're happy and in love, and we have an amazing company. We called it Savior Productions, because I've been seeing deceased loved ones since I was a child and never came to terms with them. I'm actually a student of Karen Noe's, so she is an amazing person who helped me. And I opened up my world, and I opened up myself to God and the angels, and I just took this journey because I came here on vacation, and I felt a calling. and I have to live here, and so did my husband, and we agreed, and 6 months later we were here. But today I woke up feeling unrested, unnerved. I've been walking around town meeting people. Everywhere I go, I'm helping people. People are hugging me. I'm like telling them that their deceased loved ones are around, and I've made people cry. I've made men cry. But I'm still questioning myself, and I know that I'm on the right path, but I just don't know where to go next with it.
Well, you know, it sounds to me, and by the way, Key West is one of my favorite places in the whole wide world. I almost moved there when I went vacationing one time. So
yeah,
I got to tell you something. It's besides the New Mexico, it's spiritual stomping ground, and it's a dog's world. And not to mention, you got the key lime pie and the conch. So, you know,
so welcoming too. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's amazing. There's so much. You know, you're an empath. I mean, I think you would agree with me on that one, and that you're, like you said, that you're emotional, or you'll cry, or you're talking to people, and everything's going along, but you're questioning yourself. I feel that that's really normal. Is that am I correct in what I was hearing you say to me? Correct.
Yeah, I am an empath. I know I'm a medium too. I see, I hear, I feel, I smell. I've talked with them in my head. I've talked with them out loud.
And everything you're questioning yourself. It's like you're a skeptic.
I'm a skeptic still, but I used to work in TV for, like I said, like 23 years, and I had a brilliant career. I mean, you can IMDb my name and find me. And it's weird, because I know that I can save millions of people through the masses of television and film. And I have projects that have gone out there trying to save it and take it back and make it good again. Because I've seen it go from goodness. I was born in 67. So
right.
The good TV where you can watch with your family by day, where now you can't even sit down with a child. And that's disgusting. And I was a part of that. And I want to take it back. And I'm still questioning, like where do I need to turn next to get that opportunity? Because it's not about me. I want to save people, and I want to help them, and I want to put love back into the world. And I know that's the answer. You know, television.
Well, you know what? I think television is the answer. You know what? In a lot of ways, I think it's through you're kind. There's so much kindness around you. And also, I think because your insight and your wisdom that you have already with your incredible, remarkable strengths of you already know what you have going for you. I feel getting it out in it, because you are a TV person, okay, because you have done that and you know how to put projects together, correct?
Yeah,
and I do see a really positive project coming that is coming from a sense of real grounding, and it's from your experience, what you're doing. It's from your inner experience of what you're doing now, or who you are now living. But I feel that like all the walls that you thought were real protective, it's almost like you're rebuilding a foundation, which has a lot to do with your TV situation. I see a project coming up for you. I see a project coming up for you. And I see that it's getting to be about time. The feeling I'm getting is around
something that's been done already, because I have something it's a feature film that my husband and I did, and him and his brother wrote it together. It was their first writing production. And long story short, it's called Long Road Home, and it's a man's spiritual journey. And basically, it's just how he went back. Exactly what Karen said, making amends with everybody in your life. And
right.
It was not home. It's like the devil was interfering with it for so long, and we're finally putting it back together. And I feel like this is it. But
yeah,
I'm questioning it because I'm scared.
You know, I know it's kind of scary when you get to a point where you're going like, oh no, it's going to really something good. You know what it means. I mean, it's like, this is a time for you to embrace this. My gosh, this is fantastic timing. You know, I am picking up on September, even though September seems like a far time away. But I do feel this particular project, there's something about S. I'm getting S, not S-S-O-S, but S. S. Are you planning on doing this in Key West, the filming of it, the project of it, is it filming in Key West?
Well, there are a bunch of other projects that we have going on in Key West, because the community is very welcoming for anybody creative or spiritual or psychic, you name it. So we do have a few projects that will be happening from like now through September.
Well, this one I feel September is a very prominent month for this, and I feel that what you know what? listen, what you're doing, I feel that you are doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And I know that you could think it through, or your thoughts might go crazy on you, or think it through. Everything is falling into place as it should, and the timing is perfect right now. Or it already started, but the timing is just perfect right now. And like I said, you have all the things going for you. You've got insight, you've got the wisdom, you've got the knowledge to use the wisdom to do what you need to do, and the strength.
Right.
But you know, this is a great time for you, and I feel that this is a good time for you to bring it out into film, or
okay.
TV film. I'm gonna say film into that media, and I feel it's a good time because also because of the shift in the chain. Well, the shift started in the '60s, but the shift is already, you know, we're in September, we're all gonna be alive, but it's a really good time, and like I said, 2013 is gonna be fantastic.
I can feel it.
It is. And I say, go about what you're doing. And even if you're questioning and everything like that, that's normal and that's okay. That means that you're it.
Yeah, you're it. And I understand that, you know, we're humans, we are living the spiritual existence. I understand it. It's just you question it every once in a while. You know,
and I'm
seeing my ability to help others, but I find like I can't help myself, so...
I know, and that's something that's very difficult in working in this work, but you will be able to through the projects, I feel. It will help you.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I appreciate your words.
I hope I helped you.
I really can't even tell you.
I just confirmed everything you already know.
Yeah, no, thank you. I kind of needed it. I needed to hear it. Sometimes you do.
I know.
You have a great night.
I understand. Thank you for calling.
I appreciate it. I'll be talking to you again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
And if she needs a devastatingly kind of almost handsome kind of guy for a lead actor, you know.
That's right.
I'm available.
Steve is available, yeah. You interrupted me. That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
He beat you to him, Bobby.
So, it's you.
Brilliant. Wonderful. All right. Listen, before we move on, we do have some other phone calls, obviously, that we're going to get to. However, you still have an opportunity to call in. The telephone number is 724-444-4851. Please give us a call. We still are accepting phone calls, and we'd love to hear from you. We have our next caller in from North Carolina. Are you there?
Well, hello there.
This is
Sharon.
Love your accent already. How are you? Who is this?
This is Sharon from North Carolina. Bobby, I've spoken to you a few times before, and I'm always, hey, y'all, and you just, you tickle me pink.
I do know this. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm tickled to talk with you.
Well, I'm tickled as well. You know, I'm tickled pink, in fact. So bless your
but
pee
I won't
picking
be blowing
a little
out my pink poodle skirt now.
So what's up, Cheryl? What do you want to talk about?
Oh, finances. Today on Facebook, I've had so many wonderful things that have happened that I have asked, you know, God, angels, and it was just wonderful things that have happened. Flat tire, less than 30 seconds, somebody's there. Trash can with over 100 pounds, spawn on my legs on a steep hill, and I asked for help, and God gave me strength to get it off, and then I'm just feeling so grateful. And the one area of my life that I would love to have help in, and I'm ready to deal away with, is poverty, 12 years of poverty. I've been asking for help, I'm willing to receive, and I'm just wanting to know kind of what you see on how, when, and what's going on there.
I have no idea, but thank you for calling in. It's been wonderful to talk to you.
I'd give you five if I was there, and it wouldn't be in money.
It's a good thing you know me, huh, Cheryl? So listen, here's the thing that I'm picking up on, and we've touched upon it a couple of times in the show. Mm-hmm. And do you recall? Were you listening to the entire show?
The first few minutes I couldn't get on, but on and off the last part of it.
So there was a part in there where we had talked about writing letters, and, you know, we started talking about writing letters to yourself and writing letters to the loved ones. And one of the things that Karen had mentioned is that she wrote a letter to herself, but she did it last, right? Because she's always putting everybody first. The big thing that I'm getting is that is that's just what you're doing. Now, you're very kind-hearted, give all of yourself, and I think that's great. And it feels like the vibration that you're putting out there money-wise is, give me all the money I need. I will take as much money as you can send me. I'm tired of being poverty stricken or whatever. I'm tired of not having the money when I need it, that kind of thing. So give me all the money in the world as long as somebody else doesn't suffer because of it.
Hmm.
That's the vibration I'm getting from you.
Wow.
So
yeah,
I will take $1 million as long as this person doesn't have to suffer. In other words, you believe that having $1 million or having whatever dollar amount is going to take away something, or there might not be enough, or again, like finding the front parking space of a mall, you take the back parking space because there will be somebody that will come along. You don't want to take away from some older lady that might need that space, or somebody who is pregnant that might need that space. Do you see what I mean? You're carrying.
I laugh because that's so me. Yeah. But you know what? Today, Bobby, I just said, I said, God, instead of taking care of everybody else, when I do receive this money, I'm telling you, I'm making a vow, I'm taking care of me first. And I just said that to myself in the mirror this morning, and I declared it because I've got to do that. I've got to take care of me.
Then
I can be able to take care of others.
And that's a wonderful start.
I declared it.
No, that's a wonderful start. I would practice that just a little bit more so that you can really change the momentum of your vibration that's going on right now. But I love that. It's a great first place to start. It's your great first step. I'm just still picking up vibration of the other. But that's how we start to change it. You know, the momentum takes a little bit to slow down. When you're driving in a car and you're doing 75 miles an hour, you can't just stop and turn around. You have to slow down first and then turn around, right? So the momentum is still going in the other direction right now. But again, you're making a wonderful progression in that way. And so just remember that you're not taking away from the whole. The reason why we're not accepting of a lot of things that come our way is because for some reason we believe it's going to drain, or that there's a scarcity of something. You know what I mean? Whether it be the money or love or something else, it is spiritual awareness. We just feel like it's taking away from the whole. And what it actually does is completely replenish. It expands. We help to expand it by taking from it. Do you see what I mean? By accepting and allowing, it actually replenishes. It's like a vacuum, and it replenishes and expands into so much more. Because then I find most of the people, and this is definitely the way you would be, is not only taking care of yourself, but we are able to take care of so many other people by accepting ourselves. Do you see what I mean? Accepting what it is to come for ourselves. So I don't think you have a poverty-stricken mind. I just think you still have a bit of, as long as somebody else doesn't suffer because of it. And they won't. Everybody's responsible for receiving their individual whatever it is they're going to receive. You don't take away from anybody. There's always just a giving of the whole. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, sure. I think consciously I can grasp that, but I wonder subconsciously, what's the best thing for me, for my vibration and my being, to clear that? Because I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it. So always be centered and know where you stand. And then just by, this is the easiest way, and then by seeing where you're standing, you'll know to correct that. In other words, if you were picturing yourself at the ocean, and somebody said, you can take as much ocean as you want, take the water with you, are you sucking the ocean through a straw, or do you have dump trucks out there gathering pieces, or do you have a huge tube? It's a great way to see where you're at. So as you make progress, always go back to the ocean analogy and see if your straw maybe has moved up to a gallon pitcher, you know, or what have you. But what it is just really, again, paying more attention to yourself. Stop thinking, I don't have money or I want money. Because once you start saying it and phrasing it like that, you're still equalifying it with what you don't have. Do you see what I mean? As long as you keep saying, I want this, it's equating to what you don't have, and you're still giving energy to the not having. So instead, when you think about this and you start changing your vibration, it's, you know, I allow myself to not only have what it is that I deserve, to not only have what helps me survive and get by, but I'm going to start allowing myself to have more than what I need. I'm going to actually have myself start having excess. When somebody pours milk in the cup, I'm just not going to say when. I'm going to let it continue to pour, even if it runs out onto the table. Do you see how that feels?
Really like that. Yes, the awareness is the key to starting this whole thing. And thank you for that perspective, putting that perspective for me. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And I like that.
Just continue to phrase it in such a way that's not focusing on the lack of, right? And then when you say your statements to yourself, like what I just did as examples, you're just completely focusing on the positive and all that's coming to you, not coming to you if or why isn't it or anything like that.
I will do that, Bobby. And boy, when it starts rolling in, honey, I'm going to be giving you a call and saying a yeehaw.
Well, gosh darn it, I wish you would.
Aren't you just gosh darn blessed? Have a friend in the South. Thank you so much, Bobby, and I appreciate you all.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely delightful. I love talking to her. I've talked to her a couple of times, and she's just absolutely lovely to talk to. She's just very nice. So let's get back to a couple of our discussions that we had earlier on writing letters and writing to spirit and things like that. Brenda, did we ask you, did we get a chance to talk about if you write letters to spirit or how you communicate? I mean, certainly you've run into regrets that spirit has on the other side, yeah?
You know, I do write things, but I don't know if it would be, I communicate, but I don't know if it would be like specifically in a letter. You see what I mean? I mean, I write things kind of as a communication, but not about myself usually. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, I like on the full moon, I'll go outside and I'll write some things, and I call them vows, is what I call them.
Right.
I do vows, kind of like what you were explaining to the last lady you talked to, and I kind of like do affirmations and stuff like that, and then for them to hear me, then I will do things. I will pledge to do things for them to hear what I have to ask, things like that. As far as like talking to other people on the other side in the form of the letter, the only thing that I have done in regards to that has to do with my mother-in-law. But I think it's a great concept. I just haven't had to do it. See what I mean?
Yeah. This is something that we've never talked about. I mean, basically, Steve and I have put ourselves out there, psychic mediums, which, of course, indicates that we talk to, you know, loved ones who have crossed over and things like that. But you receive messages from deceased loved ones, and how do they appear to you? How do they come to you? Like Steve said, he believes his spirit. I didn't know that until he told me that. But spirit comes to him, and he believes that information's come from spirit, not necessarily from the loved one first. So how does that happen for you?
You know what? I use my crystal ball, and they come. And sometimes I don't even have to use the crystal ball, but they directly communicate with me. I see them. I hear them. I mean, I can see them clearly. I hear their voice in my head. They connect with me directly, or they connect through my great-grandmother, Annunciata. She was a Victorian spiritualist.
Wow.
And she did all this kind of stuff, like we do, but more on the medium type, because it was big back then in the Victorian days. She was my great-grandmother, and she was kind of known in the neighborhood for doing that kind of spirit work. And I do these like psychic circles, and where people sit and we go from person to person, and they ask certain things, kind of like the gallery that you did, but just a little bit different. And
it's involved, like people get more involved in the...
Yeah. And then, but they've said, who's Nuncia? Because she'll come into the circle. And that was her name. They called her Nuncia. Her name was Annunciata, but her nickname was Nuncia. So she's appeared several times, you know.
Have fun when other people are picking up on it for us. Like I've
it
done,
really is cool.
They're like, oh, you know, I see this man standing behind you or this certain type of spirit. Uh-huh. Angel. I love hearing information like that. It's fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right.
That's really neat.
Thank you, Brenda. Now, for Maureen, have we ever talked about you seeing spirit or?
Maybe not, but now you can. Every time, Bobby, I'm losing you, Bobby. But I will. Bobby's fading in and out on me. But I will say this. Yes, you have not asked me, I don't think. But I will tell you this. Hold on, Bobby. Julie wants to know if you'll be doing your show this weekend. Julie, no, I will not be doing my show this weekend. Sorry to say. I'm taking a little bit of a break. Personal reasons. Thanks. But, you know, Bobby, I have done what I have experienced with people connecting from that are no longer with us, that have died, are, I call it mental channeling.
Ooh, interesting. I have.
It is very, and it's a few and far between. It doesn't happen all the time for me, but one particular situation was with somebody who had lost his whose two sons had drowned, and while I was reading for him, I went into a almost like falling asleep, like almost like into a. It was like a mental channeling, totally exhaustion, and I went into. And it was like I was in this pool suddenly, and these two boys, I didn't know anything about his boys. He didn't ask me any questions about his boys. I didn't even know he had boys or sons. And I was like in the water, and these two sons, and they're blonde, they're close in age, and I saw them. And it wasn't horrific where it was like I was trying to, you know, keep them from drowning, but I saw them in a pool, and they were underwater, and they couldn't come up. And it was the first time that ever happened, and it was very disturbing because I didn't understand what was going on with me. Because, like I said, I was reading for him 1 minute, next minute I'm in a pool. And wow. So I when I came up out of this whole thing, I was talking to him, and I didn't know him very well, and it turned out that he had two sons that had drowned, and they had drowned together. That's and, crazy. Yeah, it was. It was very crazy. It was very sad. Pardon me?
Is that your first experience?
Yeah, that was. That was about 20-something years ago. I've been doing this for about 25 years. It was in the beginning of the time when I was professionally doing this. And from time to time, I'll have other things like that. It's not like I put myself in there on purpose, like a mental channeling, but it happens on certain people. And that.
That can be tough on the body, too, to experience.
It's extremely tough on the body.
Yeah.
I lose a lot of weight. No, really, I tend to. It takes a lot out of you. I know my heart have had some problems some of the times with it, but it's fascinating. But, you know, it's fascinating. But it was a nice thing for him, what came out, what I got from it and what I told him about it. And he had never spoken about it. So it was a bittersweet thing. It was a bittersweet.
Okay,
so
thank you.
Yes,
Maureen.
You're welcome.
Steve, when you do some channeling or bringing through loved ones and such, have you experienced it physically to that degree like Maureen, or are you able to kind of, it's difficult to explain, isn't it? Like when I get it, but it's not to the full effect. I have a couple of times, but for the most part, it's outside of me in a sense. You know what I mean? But what is it like for you?
Well, I always get calling, what they call calling signs. So I know when I'm switching from psychic energy to mediumistic energy because I get physical sensations.
Right.
And the stronger the contact with spirit or the closer the connection, the stronger the calling signs.
Yeah,
I did used to experience overshadowing when I was a kid. So sometimes when spirit gets so close, they overshadow you physically,
mm-hmm.
and you can feel physical characteristics changing.
Yeah,
and as
right.
a kid,
oh,
I
about
used
that.
To.
That's right.
Yeah, as a kid, I used to look in the mirror and sometimes see different people's faces. So I would look in the mirror and was being overshadowed by someone from spirits. And yeah. then I've done some trance work where you feel yourself change physically. But I think we talked about that a little last week.
Right. Yeah. Crazy. That's I've never had anything like that happen. I think the most I ever felt was a heart condition or something like that. And it was really affecting me. I had to tell them to back off. I had never had it affect me that much. And I actually had to stop and say, okay, wait a second and stop. But yeah, the physical features changing and stuff, that would be a new one. So I want to thank all of my co-hosts tonight. I've enjoyed our conversations, those who've called in, and my conversation with Karen. So I really appreciate that. And thank you, Doug, for running everything there behind the scenes, keeping us all on track and on cue. And next week's show, I believe, is anchored by Maureen. And it's like a spiritual boot camp. Like,
yes.
I can't wait. What is that about?
It's with Dr. Robert Peace, PhD.
Yes.
And we know him, I believe. We all know
Dr.
Robert. He's a lovely man. And we've done the panel. Yeah, he's wonderful. And he is a universal spiritual teacher. And he shares his wisdom in his workshops. He does many workshops throughout the country called the Imagine Self and Book Spiritual Boot Camp. So we're going to be I'll be interviewing him, and I think it's going to be a great show and great interview, and his philosophy on the possibilities that we all have to live a much more life to the fullest. So we can look forward to that.
And we shall. All
yes,
right. For my co-hosts, Steve, Brenda, and Maureen, I'll say your goodbyes. And thank you again for joining us. See you here next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.